Why? I love that Buona Ossi Fiwe. Want to lift up in prayer, of course, men who've been significant in our lives today. And also ask you to take a look at those that we're lifting up in prayer in our bulletin today. Scott Matassa is continuing to recover from his shoulder surgery. Leslie and I and Michael, a few people who were here at the early service, I got a report on Ronald Caudill that this morning they took his drain tubes out. And so he's really making progress so he can move out of the CICU, which he had open heart surgery, valve replacement, bypass on Friday at Doctors Hospital Forest. And so we're expecting him to move into a room today or tomorrow. And it was tomorrow or Tuesday at the early service. So because those tubes were removed, Jenny let me know that maybe it'll be today. And at that point, we'll let you all know so you could maybe visit. Want to also lift up that Patsy Fowler is sitting here with us, but she had sent me a message asking us to pray for a couple of her friends who are battling cancer, Whitney Bush and Jean Harmon. I'll come back there in a minute if you want to add to that. Wanted you to keep praying for Bob Henderson. Barbara shared with us in the early service that his next CT scan is on July 12th, and that some of the treatments that he's been taking don't appear to be working. And so she was kind of heartbroken about that because they do not believe there's anything else. The important thing to remember about Bob is he had 2 years to live, and we're 5 years into it. And he continues to be pretty strong for someone who's suffering as he is from cancer. And so I ask you to lift him up in prayers, and Barbara as well. Judy shared with us that Shane, her son's family, the Holy Spirit just came in. If somebody can close that door for me. Judy Pierce shared with us that Shane, whose family had been visiting France, had returned home and safely. And that her husband, Dalton, was coming back from a reunion at Fort Bragg today, and she asked for us to pray for his journey. Any other things anyone would like to add? Yes.
I have a joy and two prayer requests. So the joy is my parents are here. They're back behind
there with
my
dad.
Yes. So it's good to have them today. But we received word this morning that my mom's youngest brother, Jeff, was taken to the emergency room this morning. His blood sugar is at 900 or higher, and they're working to stabilize him. So, and my other prayer request is for some really good friends of ours, the Dupuy family. They're spending 2 weeks in Africa. They left yesterday, and they've landed safely, but they will be there doing missionary work for 2 weeks with their whole family. So prayers for their safety.
Because you didn't, what's your mom's brother's name?
Jeff.
Okay. All right. That would be lovely.
I have a praise this morning. I got word from my sister yesterday that her daughter, Beth Harris, it's been on the prayer list, is leukemia-free at the moment, but she still needs a prayer because she's having some reactions from the chemo. But it's gone. Thank you.
Yes. Look who's here, by the way. H.T. Loving, who had the shoulder surgery. And you're just such a young man, too. And you're obviously bouncing back well. We're glad to have you here today. And you want to say something?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say.
Oh,
Happy Father's Day.
We are glad that Dad was up to getting out today, and I know he is too. I just wanted to add, my friend Brian Cummings has been on our prayer list for a while with esophageal cancer, and sadly he lost the battle with that a little better than a week ago. So if you would just pray for his young teenage kids and his new wife of only about a year and a half. It's been a really rough journey for him, but he's at peace now, and they're trying to make peace with it.
Okay. We'll keep the Cummings family in prayer.
Good morning, Dave Bremner. Hey, wanted to give an update on my brother Douglas. He's doing well down in Hendersonville, North Carolina. He'd had the coming back from the heart surgery. Also want to keep my brother Kenneth in prayer. He's looking at getting his, seeing what's wrong with his shoulder. He did take a spill at work Friday, and he can't lift his arm. He's not sleeping too well. So we'll see what's going on either tomorrow or Tuesday.
Yes.
Just want to let everybody know that Slash was well represented at the Western Hanover Relay for Life yesterday at Kings Dominion Campground. Had a good turnout, good participation and fellowship, and raised money and awareness for cancer research.
Ate a lot. Want to lift up to next Sunday that we're blessed to be able to share scholarships with our college students, and we're going to be letting the college students know that we have enough bounty to pass along some scholarships this year, so those who can be here next week. Let's pray together. You, O God, loved us from the moment of our conception. You know us, and you love us when we're with our mothers, and when we come out, you loved us. You loved us when we didn't listen to what our dad told us to do and some of the other men in our lives, but you brought us through just as our parents did. You embraced us when we were named, and you loved us, O God, and we give you thanks. We ask now that you help us remember the men in our lives. Help us remember those whose names that we've lifted up in prayer today, knowing that you will bring your presence and your healing touch and your love into all their lives. Help us, dear God, to love one another in the way that you love us. Hear our prayers of love this day for the world around us. We lift up those who are in harm's way today, protecting our country and protecting its citizens. People all over the world who are in need of food and shelter. We ask you, O God, to use our gifts and talents and the money we can share to help make their lives better. Hear our prayers of love this day for those around us, for all those we've held up before you in our time of sharing, and those whose names are in our hearts. We ask all these things in the name of Christ Jesus, who is our Lord and our Father. Amen. the word parable is, the word parable is translated from the Greek word parabole. Parabole is a Greek word. And what that word means literally is to put beside, to place beside. A parable then is a story that places one thing beside another thing for teaching, for comparison. The question then we need to ask ourselves when we hear this parable in a moment is, well, what is the mustard seed being placed beside? What is it being compared to? Let's hear then the parable. Luke 13. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It's like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. The word of God for the people of God. So last week when we were talking about the parable of the yeast or the parable of the leaven, I put three different English translations or four up next to each other so you could look at what the different translations were, how they had trouble and different interpretations of the Greek words. Today I wanted to do something different. This is a parable about growing something, and I wanted to show you how over time the stories of Jesus have grown. Because when we look at them in different books of the Bible, we can see the different words that they use to describe Jesus' stories. For instance, Luke 13, he said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? In Thomas 20, Thomas, you're all saying, oh, what's Thomas? Well, before I read that one, let's do a little sidebar. In the mid-1950s, they found a codex and several jars with manuscripts in it. It was called the Nag Hammadi Library. And there, in that, was the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of the Savior. There are a bunch of books that did not make it into the Bible. Now, no one knows exactly how, but they are stories about the stories in the Bible. And Thomas is a sayings gospel. In other words, it's not written together as a story like our Gospels in the Bible that we have today are. They don't flow. They're just sayings, Gospels. Now, why is that significant? Well, we see here at the beginning, Luke, and then Matthew, they use some of the same words when they tell this parable of the mustard seed. Therefore, scholars believe that there must have been another document that circulated before Luke and Matthew that had these sayings in it. Scholars believe that document is not Thomas. And so, since they've never been able to find a copy of it, they call it the Gospel of Q. Okay? That sounds funny. You can giggle. You almost laughed. They call it the Gospel of Q. That's just what they call it. And the Gospel of Q, you can actually pick up a copy of it at your bookstore. These are the stories and the words that are in both Luke and Matthew. But you can also see when we look at this story today that the words of Jesus grow and they get changed over time. I believe that Luke is the oldest, and then Thomas, and then Mark, and then Matthew. We don't have time to talk about all the reasons why, but I believe Luke is based on the Gospel of Q, and of course Matthew is as well, and we can see some of the things Matthew was concerned about. For instance, Thomas, it says, the disciples said to Jesus, tell us what heaven's imperial rule is like. In Mark, we have again the kingdom of God. And then in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven. And I realized a glaring omission from last week as I was talking about the different kingdoms. And I want to correct that right now. So, if Matthew's audience was all Jews and was not any Gentiles, then his gospel would be written more to the Jewish point of view, right? So what's the one word that a Hebrew person could never say out loud? Yahweh, the name of God. Therefore, it is the kingdom of heaven, because you can't say God out loud. So it's quite logical, really, when you analyze all the text. Matthew said the kingdom of heaven in order to not offend his Jewish hearers. That's what you see there. These texts are arranged, I think, really from the simplest to the most overgrown or complex as they develop. Looking at this, we see it's like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It's the smallest of all seeds when it falls on prepared soil. Mark says, when sown upon the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds. And then Matthew says, someone took and sowed in the field. It's the smallest of all the seeds. Well, especially in Mark, smallest to largest is a big thing. When you read Mark's gospel, you'll see Mark's hand in there comparing things, smallest to largest. And we're gonna look at that. But the thing in these words that was the most shocking to the people of the ancient world was the mustard seed was sown. That was so shocking to them. And so let's talk about what we know from the ancient world about mustard seeds so we can find out why that was so shocking. Pliny the Elder is a writer. He is also the commander of a ship in the Roman fleet. And he wrote 37 books, which we have, about natural history. And this is what he said about the mustard seed. Mustard grows entirely wild, though it is improved by being transplanted. But on the other hand, when it has once been sown, it is scarcely possible to get the place free of it, as the seed, when it falls, germinates at once. I think Pliny's saying, hey, there are good uses for the mustard seed, but be careful where you plant it. In the front, dadgummit, in the front corner of my yard, I have got centipede grass growing. I have beautiful fescue in the whole rest of the front yard, but I cannot get rid of this centipede grass. And it grows and it gets in with the flowers and the flower bed, and you're constantly having to get out there and pull it. I mean, you can't kill it. I tried burning it out one year since I've lived here, and I can't get rid of it. Now, think about this. The hearer of Jesus' parable is expecting that the kingdom of God is going to take over the garden now, because they have been told it. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed which you sow in your garden. Now, that's not the only thing, because there's a bigger shock to them too. Just the idea of planting it in your garden, all of these Hebrew people that hear this know that's against the law. It clearly says in Leviticus, okay, you shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed. Now, did you guys know that there are books in Hebrew about the books of the Bible. You've heard some of their names, the Talmud and the Mishnah. Okay, in the Mishnah, it clearly prohibits you from ever putting a mustard seed in your garden. It is against, it is taboo, it is not clean, it is unclean, it's against the purity laws of the Jewish people. So, the idea of sowing a mustard seed is shocking, and in your garden is the worst of the worst. So now, think about what the people are thinking. How does this help us understand the parable? And when we go back to it, we see the theme of smallest to largest. The simplest text in Luke, it grew and became a tree. In Thomas, it produces a large branch. This is some kind of a miracle. It's, you know, it's not just a bush. It's now a large branch. In Mark, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches. And then, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree. See what I mean about the text growing out of control over time? The biological miracle is that a shrub can grow into a tree or a branch. And you know what our problem today is? With really understanding Jesus' parables, is that we're people that learn by reading things and studying them. We just want the facts, right? We forget Jesus was a storyteller. Jesus lived in an oral culture. Many, many people, almost all people, did not read or write. They learned by hearing stories. We need to go on now in our parable to try to figure out what all this means. Suspend our questions, if you will, and move on to the end. And the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Thomas says, and it becomes a shelter for the birds of the sky. Mark says, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. So that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Can I ask you all a serious question? How many of you want the birds of the air in your vegetable garden? Not too many, right? Every time I read this, that's what I think of. And I'm not sure what it has to do with interpreting the parable. But it's there. And I got to think that the people in the ancient world probably thought similarly. I mean, why would I want the birds in my vegetable garden? The first century Jew who is becoming a Christian, or the people who are working to reform Judaism, that's really what was going on at Jesus' time. They hear this parable. And suddenly it makes sense to them. Because, you know, I started with the question, placing something beside. What has been placed beside the mustard seed? Well, this part of the parable, as soon as the hearers heard the birds of the air make their nests, they are suddenly reminded of another story that everyone knows. Leslie actually prayed about it in the opening prayer. The birds of the air make their nests at the cedar of Lebanon. This text mentions the birds of the air and the branches and making your nest. And all the people in the ancient world have heard about it, and it's actually listed in three places in the Hebrew Bible. Once, the cedars of Lebanon are compared to the Assyrian Empire, once to another ancient empire, and here in this text, God promises that He is going to plant a cedar of Lebanon for the Israelite people. Thus says the Lord God, I will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar, and I'm going to set it out on the topmost mountain, plant it on the mountain height of Israel. I will plant it in order that it may produce bear fruit. Let's see, boughs. Did I say that right? Because I said it wrong in the early service. I said boughs in the early service. It's boughs. Boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar, and under it every kind of bird will live in the shade of its branches, will nest winged creatures of every kind. As soon as they heard that part of the parable, there was suddenly something to compare the mustard seed to, the cedars of Lebanon. Most trees were very small in that part of the world, except for the cedars of Lebanon. Now, they are asking themselves a question. Is the kingdom of God more like a mustard seed or the cedar of Lebanon? Is the kingdom of God more like a shrub or a giant tree? And of course, their answer was the kingdom of God's got to be, you know, like the giant tree. It has to be. Because they're expecting this great change to come, an army to march in to overthrow the Roman Empire, which they've been living under, and to reestablish the kingdom of Israel in the way that they've always heard it. But that's not what Jesus is saying. I think Jesus' point was the kingdom is more pervasive than dominant. It's not like a tree. It's more like a smelly weed that can take over everything. And it's not like the old empire of Israel or even the Roman Empire that you're living under right now, but it is this. Remember, there's a place for everyone in it because every bird can build a nest in its branches. Everybody is welcome. That is what Jesus is saying. Is the kingdom more like the cedar of Lebanon or a smelly mustard weed? We can really see that this is a parable because he put that mustard seed right beside the cedar of Lebanon. Last week, you know, is the kingdom more like leavened or unleavened bread? Both of those parables ask us to put aside our regular assumptions and to look at the world in a different way. Both parables ask us to think about the worth of people over the religious rules of the day. Both are saying that the kingdom is different than what we expect. So what do we do with this teaching of Jesus? What we want to do, because it's only natural to us, is insist that we're going to keep our gardens in the right way. That we're going to follow the doctrine that we have been taught all our lives, these doctrinal gardens that we have. But Jesus says, don't do that. He says, do what is absurd. Do what is taboo. Do what is risky. Jesus says, allow God's kingdom rule or reign to mess things up. That's what Jesus is telling them. Which do you value more, Jesus says? Do you value more order and exclusivity? Or do you value more radical inclusion and extravagant love? Each of us, you know, as individuals and as Slash Church, we're like the person who's standing there with a mustard seed in our hand. And all we have to do is drop it in our garden and see what happens. Amen? Amen. Our invitation here.